Sometimes longer isn't better. So if you're looking for a fantasy NFL game that doesn't last all season, try Paddy Power Fantasy. Every game week is a season in itself. Try it for free on our super short, super free contest on this Sunday's 6pm games. The top 1,500 customers in the contest win a prize with £1,000 for first place. Search Paddy Power Fantasy to pick your team. Paddy Power Fantasy. Hate waiting, love winning. Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18+.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombe Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with a special bonus pod for you this one. We got Jay Bell in the house tomorrow for our usual weekend preview show. Jason Bell at ESPN HQ. So normal business is resumed, but this is a special podcast, a sit down I had with Alistair Kirk, with the MD of NFL UK, one of the key figures in driving the game forward over here in this country over the years. We sat back and talked after another successful London series, but we got into all kinds of things, including concerns that NFL UK fans have on different areas, including ticketing for starters. A lot of you got in touch with the show with questions you wanted me to put to them, so I did just that. So sit back and enjoy, and our weekly preview show, weekend preview show, dropping with Jay Bell on Friday as usual.
Congratulations on another successful NFL London series. Did it go as planned from your, you know, did you know what you were hoping for?
It never goes as planned. Mm. And when you've got eight teams, you've got two different stadia over 5 weeks, you can have aspirations as to what you want, which is ultimately great fan experience, that the teams go away thinking that they had a fighting chance of winning or losing, and if they lost, it was down to them rather than conditions. Mm. And that everybody involved ultimately had a good time, but what goes into that, specifically behind the scenes, would make a good book somewhere down the line.
Well, I hope we're filming and documenting all of it. Spurs must have certainly met expectations, arguably exceeded expectations. There's just been glowing reports of both of those games and the experience from all corners.
Yeah, and I think it's a relatively new stadium, so it's a new stadium for us behind the scenes. New, obviously, for the teams themselves, and new for the fans, right? So, you know, the fans themselves are going into that stadium, unless they're Spurs supporters themselves, for the first time, trying to work through all the logistics, etc. So, going in, there was a ton of nervous energy, ton of kind of mitigation concerns as to what are the worst things that could actually happen.
Do you feel at this stage of the process that's been a good thing for you and your team? You know, that new dimension has sharpened your collective minds a little bit.
Yeah, and this will be the only time, I think, ever I'll be on camera trying to compare myself with Bill Belichick. So it will be a very, very...
I'm glad we're recording.
Yeah, right. It'll be a very
sketchy, look at the barrel when you deliver
sketchy
this
one, right?
Right.
But I think it's actually good to keep... recharging yourself and also resetting yourself every single year. Mm. You know, so hype the thing up, but don't believe your own hype. Mm. And so that whole idea of being proud, yet at the same time relentlessly dissatisfied, and is really important, because you got to remember that, for example, the Texans, this past Sunday, that's their first game playing in Europe. Mm. So for them, that is the start of the international series in London and Europe. And you've therefore got to treat it as the very first game. If you treat it as the 28th game and it's one of many, then you'll probably get lax. Something unfortunate will happen and then you lose all the momentum. So having that approach of almost like it's the first. Now with Spurs, because it was the first Spurs stadium, you didn't even have to kind of put that into your repertoire. Is actually
to project too much.
Yeah, it was. Right. Yeah.
I'll let you do the Belichick and a Public Enemy reference there as well.
There you
so that
go.
Was going to like
there
that.
There you go.
I mean, what do you think made Spurs so special? Is it entirely the customization of the stadium that obviously we haven't seen before in this country? Was it the newness both to the NFL organization, to obviously the players, obviously the fans as well? Is the fact it's just a brand new stadium that any event there right now would feel compelling? It all seemed to gel perfectly for an NFL game.
Yeah, and first of all, it's customized, so you've got your own field, you've got your own locker rooms. It really doesn't feel like a stadium that you have to work hard to transform. Mm. But I also think that the acoustics and the sound So Osimhen and Yura was on the sidelines for both games. He gave about the biggest compliment that an ex-player could come up with. He said, this is a playoff atmosphere. Mm. And anyone that's been fortunate enough to go to a playoff game will recognize that that is a major statement to make. So I think it's a combination of those things. Yet at the same time, with Wembley, you get scale. So you get 25,000 more fans going to it. You get history, you get heritage, you get kind of much broader space as well. Mm. So we're kind of spoiled insofar as this year, we've definitely got the best of both worlds.
Is it going to make Wembley a harder sell for fans, do you think, going forwards, that Tottenham was so successful?
No, I actually think I'd like to think that we're only scratching the surface of the level of demand and support. You know, that our fans have come out and done a brilliant job in terms of every time we've increased the number of games, irrespective of the matchups, we get tremendous levels of support. I think it'll be understandable for people that have been fortunate enough to go to both venues that they'll compare and contrast, and there'll be some people that will like one and some people that will like another. Mm. But I think ultimately it'll be a case of I love the sport and I want to see it up close and personal. I would like to think that people won't be picking one over the other. It'll be much more, they may have their favourite venue, but it'll still be a case of just want to come to games.
Enjoying them both. Is the long-term plan to keep Wembley in the mix then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think from our perspective, we are having our cake and eating it at this stage, and long may it continue.
What about other UK stadiums? I know you and I have talked about this before, but the benefit of our viewers and our listeners, often asked, why doesn't the NFL move up north, Old Trafford, Scotland? What are the reasons why that is not feasible? That certainly hasn't been done to date.
So I think there's a couple of different reasons. One is, quite frankly, there's a lot of stadia that where we can't actually just physically play our game. So that could be the length of the field, so the likes of Old Trafford or the Etihad. The field's just not long enough. Mm. We've had people over the years with a measuring tape, not just believing me.
You personally?
No, I've supervised one measuring tape. That's the glamour of the game, of the game and the job. I think secondly is the facilities behind the scenes, right? So we've got 53 players on a roster. We've got a ton of coaches as well. And you actually evaluate and look at stadia and see what can be done and how it can actually be fitted. Mm. There's very few stadia where that can actually work out. Then on the other side of things, you've also got, logistical issues. So you see increasingly number of teams that are coming in for relatively short weekends.
Yeah.
So Houston and Jacksonville came in on the Friday, left on Sunday night.
Right.
If you go to a regional place with a regional airport, you're actually asking for more travel time. Mm. You're asking for more logistical uncertainty or things that could potentially go wrong. And coaches and teams are creatures of habit. Mm. They don't want to be trailblazers. They don't have a sense of pride of, I'd like to be the first person to play in X. Mm. They actually would love for other teams to have tried and tested and for them to then actually work out what's best for them.
Yeah.
So it's not just as simple and straightforward as, wouldn't it be great to play in this area?
Yeah.
It's, is it good enough and fit enough and appropriate enough for a regular season game that matters?
Yeah.
And also, will teams actually be happy?
You got to be able to sell it to the NFL. I get that. London as well works very much as a European gateway, and it's always very noticeable that when you're at the games, there are fans from all over the world, but certainly all across Europe, particularly mm-hmm. the German contingent. And we're hearing mm-hmm. more and more that there might be an international series game in Germany in the not too distant future. Is there a sense there will just be more games to go around internationally? Or do you think that at some point the UK will have to compromise the amount of games that it gets if there is a game in Germany, for example?
Well, my crystal ball's cracked and has been for many years. Everything I've ever predicted over the years has not happened and vice versa, right? So,
what's your instinct on this one?
Well, every time I'm interviewed by German media, I'm on record as saying, I really want a German game.
Of course.
German fans deserve
We've
it.
We've got a big German fan base watching right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so and I'm being very clear that I say it and I believe it. I do think that there is a ongoing challenge in terms of game inventory. Just to make, the more games that you look to play, the more you're looking then for home teams to put their hands up and volunteer. And whilst there are mechanisms in place to try and help that, It's a challenge for folks back in New York. So I'm always going to be saying, let's play more games. Let's do more, because I actually believe that that's one way of growing the sport. Mm. And it's great for fans themselves. So I'd like to think that there's going to be a game in Germany, in the future. I don't know what that means to the UK. I'm certainly not lobbying for less games.
Sure.
And that's not kind of on our horizon, and it's not part of the discussion at this point in time. But I think we also have to be realistic that you can only put on the number of games linked to the number of teams that are actually willing to come over. Now, the good news is, since we've been playing since 2007, 31 out of 32 teams have played in London now. Yeah. And back in 2007, if I had said that, that would have sounded really fanciful. So the fact that we can actually achieve those kind of things and get momentum, because back then, no one else other than the Miami Dolphins wanted to volunteer for a game at that point in time. And here we are, you know, 28 games later.
Almost a full set. The notable absence is, of course, the Green Bay Packers. Lots of people have got in touch with us knowing I was going to be doing the interview, and inevitably asking about that. When are the Packers coming over? We know they're not going to give up a home game. We get that. That's just not feasible. So it is dependent on a number of other things in order for that to be a possibility. But presumably, not just NFL UK, but NFL as a collective organization must be aware that getting the Packers over would complete the set and be an incredibly strong news story.
Yeah, no, then that would be a really nice kind of ribbon on to attach to kind of this whole journey.
Mm.
I think there have been two or three times over the years where I thought we were going to get the Packers, and there are always other elements and aspects that go on behind the scenes in terms of, can you get the sequencing right for game weeks to get played? Does it fit in with US domestic broadcasts as well? What does the home team feel about it as well? So there's loads.
Because it's a valuable game for the home team to give up.
Yeah, and there's loads of other considerations that go in. But key for us going forward is to get a volunteer home team where the Green Bay Packers are on the away schedule, because I'm not sure that people are fully aware, but you have an idea 4 years out as to what the game schedules look like every single season.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it will be luck and design, and some of it will be because we actually want it to make it happen.
Yeah.
So there is a desire to be able to say they've got all 32 teams. The Packers themselves have gone on record and said that they would love to come over. It's just up to us to make it happen.
Okay, on the games that we want to see happening over here, and it's difficult, isn't it, in some respects, because you give the fans what they want and inevitably they're going to keep on wanting more. And there's talk of playoff games. There's the fanciful talk of a Super Bowl, because I guess the latter is going to be impossible, or certainly incredibly challenging because of kickoff times and everything else. A playoff game is more realistic. And Commissioner Goodell was asked that question when he was over at the Bears-Raiders game earlier on, and certainly didn't discount it as an option. Do you see that as one of the ways the international series will develop, the international game plan will develop? We've had regular season games. We've had more regular season games. Is a playoff game a really, really logical next play?
I can only speak personally. So this question and answer is not on the NFL payroll.
Noted.
I'm personally against playing a Super Bowl in the UK. I think history shows that you play Super Bowls where there are teams.
Mm.
And I think the Super Bowl is iconically important, and not something that you should move around without a really clear vision as to why.
Mm-hmm.
It's a circus that would be coming into town, a massive circus. But I actually think, until such time as we're deserving of it, it should stay in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of am the same approach with a playoff game. Unless my bosses tell me to get supportive of it, which I absolutely will.
Of course.
If I'm told to. But my own viewpoint is you actually need home advantage in a playoff.
Mm.
And so I think that the best chances of us having a playoff game would actually be if there was a London franchise.
What about the story that broke in the last 24 hours? Miami confirmed as an international series team. It'd be great to have them back in London, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so they've said that they'll either play a game in London or Mexico. Mm. So we're going to lobby hard and try and get the Dolphins over for a couple of reasons. One is they're one of the top three most followed fan bases here in the UK. So something that really matters. And secondly, it'll get you off my back.
Yeah, that's the only reason you do.
It was in reverse order. Right. Yeah.
It would be great. They are, they are, as you say, personal interest here, a much loved team. So they'd be an easy sell as well, wouldn't they? Whether you're a Dolphins fan or not, they're tough season, but one of those teams that has so much history and resonance in this country.
I don't really like where you're going, trying to make my job sound like it's really easy to do. I think it's really easy to just sit there and ask questions. What do you think?
I made a living out of it. Speaking of hard sell.
Yes.
A lot of the time when the games are released, there is a reaction from certain corners of the fan base to say, well, that's not really a great matchup. That's not really compelling. And back to the Packers, the Patriots. We want to see teams like that every year. Now, we know it's difficult for reasons you've outlined to get those marquee teams each and every year. But history's shown that actually some of the matchups that on paper don't necessarily jump off the page have been some of the best games we've seen in London.
Yeah, I mean, best matchup that we ever negotiated was the Vikings and Steelers in 2013. Yeah. Both teams, playoff teams, the year before, incredible star players, big fan bases. They came in, played week four, both 0-3, statistically, out of the playoff race for that year. That was a good lesson to me that sometimes you can. It's a little bit like my fantasy football team.
Right.
Good on paper. Not always
doesn't
great.
Quite play out.
This past Sunday, you'd argue being able to see the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, etc., really kind of playing at an incredibly high level, without trying to jinx their season. You'd like to think that they're probably going to be a playoff team and seriously in the hunt. What a privilege for the rest of us to actually see them live close and personal. Maybe when you're saying Jacksonville, Houston last year, maybe that doesn't sound quite as appealing as now.
Right. And even the game as well, which was one-sided, was still pretty gripping for most of it, not least because of Watson individually seemed to carry the game. But even at the end, the final quarter, there was all the jeopardy going on and turnover central. It gripped you for the game. The audience was, as in the stadium, was definitely gripped. And broadcasting it, we didn't struggle to try and fill it. We had so much to talk about.
And then you look at the other games. The Rams having got to Super Bowl and having a stuttering season, which I don't think many people were forecasting.
Right.
The Raiders really bouncing back and being very competitive in every game. Maybe people didn't see them as being as competitive as they seem. So. It is difficult to get the balance right, and it's difficult in our sport to actually forecast who's going to be hot one year from another, and the previous season isn't always the best basis for it.
Sure.
But I think we're kind of in a spot position as far as we've got four games, eight teams, so therefore the odds are that we'll find at least a couple of those teams that will surprise people.
You talk about four games. The CBA is something that's getting talked about a lot, and the potential for an increase in across the NFL in terms of regular season games, 17-18. There's a distinct possibility, if not strong possibility, that might happen in the foreseeable future. That clearly has to be good news for NFL UK, because going back to my earlier point, the more games there are to divvy up, the chances are that we will, as a country, be offered more international series games. Is that how you look at that? That if we go to an 18-game season, we'll probably increase the number of games we have here to five, potentially six, potentially more, right?
Yeah, well, over the years, I've never refused any kind of scenario. So when they've offered up one game, multiple games, my standard answer is yes. I'd even do it for a playoff game, despite my previous answer, right?
Sure. It's
because I believe that as we're trying to grow and kind of take things to the next level, if you get an opportunity, you just take it and then figure it out afterwards. So if something like that was to happen, we'd take the benefit from it. And if it doesn't happen, we'll find other ways and different ways.
Do you think it will happen in the league? Will expand to 18 games?
I have absolutely no sense of it, but you were talking about, how stories are put out there and what they actually mean. I think with experience shows that with the CBA, there's loads of things that get put out on both sides.
Yeah.
And it's only once the thing's actually been concluded do you actually know.
Yeah. Okay, we've got some questions for you from our social media channels, at the NC Show, as you know, is how you get in touch.
How did you come up with that name?
Hours and hours. Paid a branding agency a lot of money. I mean, this is ESPN we're talking about here.
Okay. You could have asked me. I should have done.
A lot of listeners and viewers getting in touch with us about ticketing. Mm-hmm. It is a...
complimentary?
Not much. Oh, okay. Not so much. A lot of fans felt disappointed, were left disappointed with the Tottenham games. Mm-hmm. Long-standing legacy season ticket holders from previous years facing challenges. But not just that, there's also the problem that, and this isn't unique to the NFL in terms of online ticketing and where tickets end up and the cost of those. So let's start with the former. What is your response to those fans who feel quite aggrieved by the fact that they weren't necessarily, in their eyes, looked after as they should have been for years of loyalty supporting the international
right.
series?
They're in the right. So I don't have any specific counter to it. I mean, I'm on their shoes for the most part, without maybe some of the swear words that are on social media. I would agree with their point of views. I think behind the scenes, we have a challenge in terms of what we can actually say publicly and how we can actually explain things.
Sure.
When you go to two stadia, as we experienced with Wembley and Twickenham, there are lots of other kind of operational considerations. And probably the most challenging one is actually getting the ticketing side right. Mm. So if you buy for Wembley and Twickenham, as back then, we made it work, but we made lots of mistakes behind the scenes and operationally couldn't quite get it right and hope that kind of technology would help. So you buy for one seat for all games, that seat in another stadium has to be by its very nature different.
Sure.
Just because it's a different consideration, different configuration, different capacity, etc. Mm-hmm.
So capacity is the issue here, isn't it, with Spurs and Wembley?
So for example, Spurs being a much smaller stadium, we'd actually have to scale back the number of season tickets to make it operational for Spurs as opposed to operational for Wembley.
Why weren't the legacy season ticket holders given automatic first dibs at with the Spurs season tickets? That seems to be the concern.
So why weren't they?
Yeah.
Because the number that we had for Wembley from the previous year would have
just exceeded, so just didn't mass didn't add up. Okay.
And it would have created other, it would have had a knock-on effect for everything else. So it's unfortunately not the fans' fault, and that's why I think they're in the right to be both disappointed and to express that disappointment. It would be considerably easier for us if we were just playing in one stadium. But if we're just playing in one stadium, we might struggle to get the number of games that we get because of scheduling, conflicts and challenges. Mm. So we need to play in multiple stadia whilst we don't own our own, stadium. Mm-hmm. So I think the fans were unfortunate victims of a lot of other considerations. I know it won't be a particularly satisfactory answer, but the only thing that I would kind of stress is when we made the decision, it wasn't just a glib, let's just do that and to hell with everybody else. Mm. It was agonizingly placed in terms of looking at every form of consideration, and the starting point is what are the things that could actually go wrong. So if we'd gone ahead with it, I think we would have probably upset people in other ways, because we don't have there isn't a ticketing system here that can actually manage both of those stadia successfully. They operate in, behind the scenes, they operate in two different systems.
Sure.
Even though it's kind of the same vendor. So it's a lot harder than it seems. Where I think people would also be quite right to kind of have a go would be to say that we weren't very kind of open and transparent. Mm. But in my experience, when you actually disappoint people, they're not going to be satisfied with the first reason, nor the next reason. They'll want to get to the bottom of absolutely everything. And somewhere along the line, you've just got to trust that we actually do care about the fans. Mm. And if we had to make a decision that frustrates people, it's with the best of intentions as opposed to just to upset people.
Yeah, fair enough. And the problem in terms of ticket reselling isn't unique to the NFL by any stretch, but you must be aware of the concerns around that.
Yeah, so that's an ongoing challenge because, first of all, it's not illegal.
Right.
So we don't have any legal support against us. Secondly, behind the scenes, every year, we do a ton of additional pieces of work. So last year in for the 2018 games, we voided 4,000 buyers because we'd done a lot of work to work out who was touts and who weren't. Now, the problem is I can't publicize what that work is because if you actually publicize it, then what you end up doing is telling people this is how you need to now avoid it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we do a lot of work on it, but sometimes those folks are ahead of the game and they're trying to think of different ways of doing it. Don't love having tickets on the secondary market. But if you actually look at the number of people in specifically that buy season tickets, there's a reasonable percentage of people that then go on and buy those tickets and then sell them elsewhere.
Yeah.
I've seen loads of different suggestions as to how you can actually crack down on that. But none of them, based on my investigation, none of them end up solving for it. What they end up doing is creating other issues or other problems. So once you come up with ideas such as you got to show your ID, like Glastonbury, then that means that if you've bought two tickets, you can't actually pass them on to family members. Right. And if you create a new system that is unwieldy, then do you create massive queues around, say, Wembley or Tottenham that then creates security?
All kinds of other issues.
So again, that answer would I summarize as we get it. I wouldn't say we're on top of it, but it's certainly a priority for us. And we are proactively doing things. I've kind of asked people not to just knee jerk though and think that just because they see tickets being put to a secondary ticket site, that just means that we've just allowed it all to happen.
Sure.
You know, there's a limit to how we can control it.
And to be fair, you, you know, in particular leading the organization, but your team as well have always been, you've never shirked questions about it and you've always been transparent about it. And I think the fans respect that. So,
you'll find from your comments whether they did or not.
Yeah, one or two might disagree. But
maybe there's a new thing.
You can't
disagree
win them all.
With
that. Oh, a hashtag. I like
it. Yeah, right.
A couple more questions. I know you're busy today, so we'll crack on with a couple more. Asmir Begovic, no less, has got in touch. When are the Patriots coming over? Asmir, big Patriots fan. Can you give us an exclusive on that?
He's an international footballer. Whenever they're announced in the future.
When are they coming back?
Well, they've come over about three times.
What, three times?
Yes. And Robert Kraft is a massive supporter of international and a really, really vocal. And if it was up to him, I'm sure he would love to play as often as he can. It's a little bit like the Packers question.
Right.
You first of all need a home team and then you need secondly, a team to then step up and say, we're fine with the Patriots coming over. There's a risk when you're a home team because the Patriots is the most followed team now in this country. You'd actually have to be prepared to potentially lose that home field advantage as well. So it's a no-brainer for us to want the Patriots over.
Yeah.
But it's
a hard sell potentially.
Yes.
That's like every Chargers home game, isn't it? That the off-road team is there. You'd have to comment on that.
Come on.
Yeah. Tim asks, any plans for the biggest names in NFL UK to be in a fantasy league together?
Who are the biggest names in NFL UK?
No comment. Present company accepted, Alistair, obviously.
Okay. I'd definitely charge you, Nat, with organizing that.
Thank you very much. And if it doesn't happen next season. Yeah.
But then it's on you.
I will get a lot of vitriol on social media as a result of that. Okay. Thanks for that too. One more from T-Wolf says, can I have a job as your PA, Alistair? I make great tea, he says. Are you a tea drinker?
First of all, I don't drink tea.
Falls down right there, T-Wolf.
So be fairly unoccupied. Secondly, I would probably suggest that if you did a straw poll of people that work here, that would be up there with kind of one of the worst jobs you could have.
Your PA, okay. Yes. Let's end with the academy because we haven't mentioned that. And it is into its first year.
And
we've talked all about the games and Spurs and teams coming over and everything else. Do you think you might look back at all of this and everything that NFLK UK has achieved under your stewardship and maybe be most proud of the academy?
I'd like to think so. I mean, that's obviously dependent on us continuing to execute at a high level. I think probably I would put at the moment the player pathway success as the thing that, I don't know if it's proudest, but certainly kind of it feels the most biggest transformational agent, and also probably where I get a little bit emotional thinking about it. So if you look at how even Jakob Johnson getting onto the 53 of the Patriots, Jordan Mulata getting drafted, having never played the game before, Efe Obada, and particularly when he came over for game two, and kind of how that worked through. Yeah, and you look at the guys that are kind of in the mix for next season. So you've got Christian Wade, having had such a great preseason and now a year with the Bills. You've got Christian Scotland-Williamson, who's under the radar for a lot of people. But if you haven't great got player. Injured in preseason, I firmly believe that he had stood a real chance of getting on the 53 with the Steelers.
Yeah.
And you've got all of these guys that through tremendous work ethic and kind of an unbelievable level of resiliency have just confounded the standard approach that US coaches had, which is you're not going to grow the game through international players. Now the academy gives an opportunity for both, from both an elite perspective for younger guys to then follow up in their footsteps and have some of these guys as their role models, as well as hopefully do some really important things from a social change perspective and from a community perspective. So in terms of actually, you know, if you use a cliche word, legacy in terms of changing things around, I'd like to think that having played 28 games is a good starting point, but actually really starting to try and change people's lives for good. I'd like to think that if we do well with the academy and scale that up, that it'll be something I'll look back with a lot of pride.
I bet. Thanks for your time, man. In an incredibly busy time for you. I'm always interested, what happens the week after the games are done? I mean, people assume, I guess, okay, can relax and breathe for a bit. It's probably not quite that simple.
No, so yesterday was going through the debrief of everything that worked and that we need to improve. So we do that after every single game.
Was that a long call?
Yes, it's fairly comprehensive. Yeah. And we have folks come in from the US that act almost like secret shoppers.
Really?
Yeah. So they go around the whole stadium, and pregame and tailgate and even kind of tube lines and everything else. So
Do they watch the broadcast?
No, they don't. So you're out of jail there.
God.
Yeah. So we go through a very comprehensive kind of review of what worked, what we thought we said we were going to do and how it kind of panned out. Then we're also in the midst of planning for next year, both in terms of games, in terms of our budgets, what new initiatives we want to do. So this time last year, we were throwing out the academy as a concept. And now here we are. So we've got a few different new ideas as to what the next thing is. So we're hard at work trying to lobby for that. And so, just in general, be kind of an enthusiastic pain to New York and just keep trying to push the envelope a little bit more.
Okay, we'll keep pushing that envelope.
Appreciate it.
Cracking stuff. Really appreciate Alistair taking the time to talk to us. Busy man. And I appreciate his honesty as well. Straightforward, direct on questions, saying, look, we can't get everything right. We make mistakes. But I understand and sympathize with fans that get frustrated. Of course I do. I get that. But at the same time, NFL UK have driven the game so far in this country. It doesn't mean we can't check them and ask questions and put the questions to them, but we are getting four games a season, people. Once again, a terrific NFL London series. And when I think back, to when that was just a faint hope that maybe one day we might get to see a game in London, just to be, in some respects, appreciative of what we've got, because those guys there, Alice has got a big team and they are doing a cracking job, and long may that continue. Right then, we have got J-Bell in the house on Friday for our preview show. Don't forget as well, our Paddy Power Fantasy Show competition, only for listeners of the show. So get involved with that. If you fire over to social media at the NC Show, you will see links to all of that. The guys are pushing out how to get involved. It's free to enter. free to enter this Sunday. Put a daily fantasy team together this Sunday and you could be in the money. So go get involved with that. We'll see you Friday. Bye for now.